All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our weekly gathering. I trust you can hear me okay. Is that true? Yay! Okay, good. Good. then why don't we start the morning? Why don't we, for me, it's kind of like a reboot of the morning because, of course, I've been up for a few hours by now, but I've been more in silence. So it's kind of like, you know, rebooting to the outward focus as we take the opportunity to say hello to one another. So what I will do is play our starting song, which is We Are Awakening by Deborah Pamela and Mitten. And please take this opportunity to say hi to each other on our message board.
Melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in
do anything silly like log out of Pal Talk when I'm supposed to be turning off music. I let my inward focus go right up until the gathering started, and when I move from that deep inward focus to the outward focus, I have a little bit of trouble sometimes. I noticed just now when I went to stop the music, I almost exited Pal Talk instead. So hopefully I won't do anything silly like that. Let me begin with our statement of purpose. There is consistent wisdom in the universe, and it shows up in all religions, in philosophy, in all cultures, and throughout time. This wisdom is not unique. It's not new. It's not owned by anyone. It's not owned by any organization. No one has to go to a special place or a special teacher to find it. In fact, it is the most abundant wisdom in the universe. And once one opens his or her heart to this wisdom, it appears everywhere, by the hand of grace. There is also a way of not seeing universal wisdom, and we all have the ability to be distracted from it by self-limiting and segmenting beliefs. Awakening together is an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. All right, so I'm going to begin this morning by sharing some announcements. One of these announcements was actually made at the member meeting last Sunday night, but in case you weren't at the member meeting, we have announced our 2018 fall retreat, which is a pilgrimage to Israel. Also, just in case you didn't notice the announcement that followed the member meeting, the price of our trip has actually dropped since the price that I announced in the member meeting last Sunday. And what had happened was I had requested a reduction in price, but it hadn't been approved by our travel agent prior to the member meeting. So I went with the quote that I had. But then the very next morning, I got an email with the price being dropped. So it's a little cheaper than I said last Sunday night. First of all, just to let you know how we often have three retreats and you can come to one, two, or all three? Well, our fall retreat going to Israel is not much different. We actually have two tours, and you can come to one or you can come to both. The primary tour, the real fall retreat tour, is the seven-day pilgrimage, which will begin in Israel on October 20th and end in Israel on October 27th, which means if you're flying from the United States, those dates for you are really October 19th to October 28th, because you'll need that travel time. The price for this seven-day pilgrimage is $1,698. That does not include your airfare or spending money, but it does include your hotels, your breakfasts, and just fabulous. As wonderful as Israel is, those of us who have been several times, one of our favorite things is the food and the coffee. We love the coffee as well. So the breakfasts and dinners are fabulous. It also includes your admission to all of the sites that we're going to visit. It includes our bus driver, our tour guide. So quite a bit is included in that price, $1,698 for the seven-day pilgrimage. And just to give you an idea, when Globus takes the same trip, Globus being a travel company here in America that goes to Israel regularly, their price for the same trip is $2,573. So we're nearly $1,000 less than the Globus rate. And then some people, once they get to Israel, they may want to stay a little longer because it is a bit of a long flight. So while you're there, if you want to stay on, we're following the seven-day pilgrimage with an optional five-day extension trip, which will begin on October 28th and end on November 1. That means you would be flying home on November 2. Those are the dates of the actual in-country trip. And this trip is $1,740 per person, which is $155 less than announced. That's where the price reduction came in. Now, over the next year, I'm going to gradually share information with you about this Israel trip because there's just so much to tell you. I couldn't say it all in a period of time. But during the seven-day pilgrimage, some of the places that we will visit include the Garden of Gethsemane. And in fact, we have reserved a private portion of the Garden of Gethsemane, so we will have some time inside the Garden of Gethsemane all by ourselves without other tourists, which is a fabulous opportunity for contemplation right there in the garden where Jesus let go of the ego. And Carrie, I'll answer your question in a moment. We're also going to go to the Garden Tomb. This is a place that is also known as Golgotha. Golgotha in the Bible is the place of the skull. And when we get there, you'll be able to see a cliff that looks just like a skull. You'll see how it got its name. It's also where the tomb is, where the tomb is that that Jesus was buried in and resurrected from. We're also going to visit the baptismal site at the River of Jordan, where John the Baptist baptized Jesus, and then we'll go directly from there to the Mount of Temptation, just like Jesus did. He went up into the mountains, the desert mountains, and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and we'll go up there right after we visit the baptismal site, and oh, so much more. So like I said, I will share all of this over the year. Now, I noticed Carrie is asking, where do you leave from? This is why flights are not included in the price, Carrie, because we're not leaving from one location. We'll let everybody leave from their home airport, so we're letting people buy their own flights. If we had included flights in the tour, he would have had everybody leaving from JFK. But that's just not the best route for each person. In fact, I will probably fly from Colorado Springs to Chicago and then Chicago to Germany and Germany to Israel. So each person will be able to find their best route at the price. So that's why flights are not included. So you can leave from wherever you live. I also just wanted to let you know that one of the things I'm offering is that if you want, you can make payments towards your trip between now and next August. And if you make payments towards your trip, I want you to know there's absolutely no risk, because all I'm doing is holding the money for you. And if something happens that you find out you can't go, I will return the money that you paid. So there's no risk at all. The only thing that you could lose is the $200 deposit, but that's very clear on the website when you look at the details. Any money you pay over and above that, if you can't go, as long as you cancel before August 28th, I'll just return all of your money to you. So it's no risk. And just to let you know how easy it is to go if you want to, if you're going on just the 7-day pilgrimage, which is the primary trip, if you were to pay your $200 deposit this month, and then starting in October, send $136 per month as payments, you would have the trip paid off by August. The PayPal fees are already included in the price, Jacqueline, so we don't have to think about that. But if I return it, you're right, they wouldn't get the PayPal fees. Yeah, any PayPal fees we had to pay, that part you will lose. Thank you for the correction on that. Yeah, but other than that, you get all of the money except for the PayPal fees, which is about 2.5%. But again, if you register and pay your $200 deposit this month, and then October through August, you would pay $136 per month. Then by the deadline in August, you would have paid the full amount for the 7-day pilgrimage. Of course, that's a little higher. I haven't figured out the price, but it's a little higher if you also want to include the 5-day optional extension trip, and I'll get that information and share that as well sometime. Of course, you can figure that out yourself with a calculator. but just be aware of that. Also, I just want to mention we are now only 1 month away from our fall retreat in Colorado Springs. Today is the 7th of September, and our fall retreat begins on the 20th of October. So we're only 1 month away now. And as you all know, our retreat begins with Gina Lake on October 20th, followed by a retreat with me on October 23rd, followed by a retreat with Bob Ferguson and Tess Hughes on October 26th. So the full time, if you wanted to come for all three retreats, is October 20th to 29th. And, of course, there is a discount for all three retreats. In addition to that, Awakening Together members, if they choose to just come to RDA or just come to Bob and Tess or just come to those two retreats, you can get an Awakening Together members discount. And yeah, Lisa Rose, who is Lisa Hester, says she's coming. She just booked her flight. She also just registered yesterday, so she's on her way. So there is still time to register. Only 1 month away, so by now you start getting that feel on whether you want to come or not. Just to let you know, you cannot register. This is really important. I say this every year, and every year people don't hear me. Really important. You cannot register after, let me look at the calendar real quick. You cannot register after about October 5, because on October 6, we have to give our final numbers to the retreat center. And at least in the past, this retreat center is not at all flexible about adding additional rooms or additional meals after that two-week window. So October 5th is the last day to register for the fall retreat. After that, we'll just have to say, I'm sorry, you can't come. So please keep that in mind. You really only have about two more weeks to register. Also, Lisa just typed in $252. I think that $252 she's referring to is if you're going to Israel and you're doing both trips and you want to start making payments, you pay your $200 deposit this month, and then $252 a month through August will pay for the rest. Is that correct, Lisa? And then, Carrie, I was referring to Israel when I said you fly from wherever you are. I was referring to Israel. That's why the flights are not included in the retreat, in the pilgrimage price, so you can fly from wherever you are. Okay, good. All right, also, just in case you weren't at the member meeting last week, I just want to let you know that we announced that there are now Awakening Together radio apps. They're very easy to find if you go to your app store, whether it's the iPhone app or the Google app store, and just type in Awakening Together. You will find the radio apps, and you can download them for free. And then, first of all, they are so cool. They're so pretty. They have our logo and everything. But all you do is push play at any time, 24 hours a day, and you are listening to Awakening Together Radio. So if you haven't yet got those apps, go get those apps. I also want to mention that we have a Tao Te Ching class coming up. It will be on Thursday nights from September 28th to October 19th. Registration for that closes on September 20th. And again, today is the 17th, so we're talking about Wednesday. So if you want to register for that class, registration closes on Wednesday. That is an excellent, excellent class. The Tao Te Ching, I know I heard you tell you, is one of my very favorite books. If I was only allowed to take five spiritual books and never read from any books ever again but those five books, the Tao Te Ching would be one of the five. And the contemplation and the clarity that comes through the Tao Te Ching and is emphasized in that class is incredible and extremely helpful. So, again, if you want to register for that class, registration closes this Wednesday, September 20th. That's because the homework, the contemplation, begins on Friday the 22nd. And Carrie's asking, what's the average airfare from San Francisco to Israel? I don't know. You'd have to look that up. I know the airfare from Colorado Springs to Israel because that's my flight. But each person will have to look up their own. it'll be different for everybody based on where you're flying from. Also, I just want to let you know what our schedule is tonight in the sanctuary. Tonight really starts at 5 p.m. Eastern Time with the Mighty Companions. If you haven't heard them, they are a lot of fun. So please come and listen to them at 5 Eastern Time. That's 2 in the afternoon Pacific. Followed by Kate Greaves and her Exceptional Clarity with A Course in Miracles at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific. Followed by me with the 7 to Awakening. 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific, followed by the Holy Spirit Guides audio series. And tonight's audio is called Walking Through Fear, which I know might be helpful to some of you. That is at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. And then, of course, we will end the night with our new weekly satsang with Craig Holiday. That's at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. So I hope to see you here in the sanctuary tonight. Next, we actually have a very special event. Doreen Bonet has completed the Minister Preparation Program, and she has passed the two tests. We have a Phase 1 test and a Phase 2 test. She has passed both tests, and she is now ready to be ordained as an Awakening Together minister, and we're going to do that right here, right now. So please drop into your heart, because this is a very solemn devotional moment when someone chooses to take the oath of ordination as an Awakening Together minister. And Doreen is going to do that right now. So Doreen, I am going to turn the mic over to you so that you can take the oath of an Awakening Together minister. Here is the mic.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me? Yes. Okay, great. Thank you, everyone. So I'm just going to move into the oath. And if everyone can just take a deep breath with me, it will be very supportive for me. I, Doreen L. Bonnet, willingly and with my heart, take this oath of ordination. I feel called from within to be a servant of the one true self through Awakening Together. I am dedicated to support members and friends on their individual spiritual journeys. I commit to uphold, demonstrate, and maintain Awakening Together's purpose and core values. I pledge to remain in a communal relationship with Awakening Together through service to the Assembly or the broader community on behalf of the Assembly. I agree to join Awakening Together's Ministers Association and adhere to the procedures of that association. I promise to be a living, ethical demonstration that is becoming of an Awakening Together ordained minister. I agree to honorably uphold this oath of ordination. Letting go, and thank you.
Yay! Congratulations, Doreen, and welcome as Reverend Doreen Bonnet. Sorry, I said the French pronunciation, Bonnet. Welcome, and we're really, really happy to have you finally as a minister. so I'm really happy about this. And now what I am going to do is I'm going to turn the mic over to Reverend Doreen so that she can share her first homily as an Awakening Together minister.
Thanks, everyone. I can see all the comments flowing through. Thank you so, so much. I was a little teary-eyed this morning, and I'm not going to be teary-eyed now. I'm going to get through this. Well, first of all, I want to thank all my teachers of the ministerial program, Helen, Jay, Jacqueline, and Regina. I can barely come up with words. I want to thank you for your commitment and your courage to follow your inner wisdom. Because that's what ultimately led to Awakening Together. And so I am so appreciative of you and your journey and your willingness to be a way for us. So thank you so, so much. And I also wanted to thank my family and friends who some of them are probably listening in on Awakening Together Radio right now, and so this is all very new to them and listening in now, so I just want to thank you for your support through the process. So during the week, I received my stole from Ken Gibson, and Ken, if you guys don't know, he's the person who makes the stole, which is the garment that an ordained minister wears. And I did it this week, and it just brought me back to when I first heard of NTI, the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. And it made me a little emotional, not because I was getting a stole, but because of the image on the stole, which is a sheaf of wheat, which is the same image that is on the cover of NTI. And as I reflected on that, if you think about the Bible verse in Matthew, is referred to in the Bible in Matthew and in Revelations, of separating the wheat from the chaff. And it occurred to me how much of what the ministerial program is that exact process. It's separating, what's true from what is false, separating what is valuable from what is worthless. And I know in my own journey, we all have these beliefs about ourselves that are just not true. And I am so grateful for the tools that have been presented in Awakening Together and the MPP program to kind of support me on this journey to truth. So I'm so very, very grateful. And I'm also extremely grateful to the Awakening Together community. I thank you for your sharing and your authentic participation in the different programs. It has been so supportive for me. So as I was reflecting, I was guided to go back to the first class that I took in, I think it was in April 2015, and to kind of review that a little bit and see what stuck out. And so as I was scrolling through it, I came across this one quote, and I'm trying to pull it up in a second here. There we go. This one quote that I wanted to read as a way to kind of end this portion, because I want to stick to the time. And this was a single quiet thought from Thoughts of Awakening. This was from the True Discernment workbook. And it says, guidance comes from love. It rises up like a free-flowing flow. In this way, guidance shares the characteristics of love from which it comes. A free-flowing flow can be blocked because a free-flowing flow, not force. Your role, if you are to know the guidance that comes from love, is to remove the obstructions that would block this. And so I thank Awakening Together. I thank Regina and all the instructors and all the members and my classmates for supporting me in that role of removing the obstructions to love. Thank you. I feel so honored and so humbled. I'm letting go.
Thank you very much, Doreen. That was a very beautiful first homily. And you all may remember you also elected Doreen to the Member Board of Trustees this summer. So now she's both an Awakening Together trustee and an Awakening Together ordained minister. So we're really, really happy to have you with us, Doreen. Yay! And now what I'm going to do is move into a song. I selected this song for two reasons. One, it felt very, very appropriate to honor Doreen and her ordination today. And it's also very appropriate with the talk that I'm going to share today. So the name of this song is I Am Light, and it's by India Airy. Thank you. I'd like to lead us in prayer. I will start with a moment of silence. Father, Mother, God, Jesus, Buddha, Holy Spirit, Ramana, I mention many names, but I know it is only one, as we are only one. And today we rest our busy minds, which always speak of me and others. Right and wrong, good and evil, the judgmental voice of separation. We disregard this voice. We rest from the head to the heart, and we remember I am light. This is where we are all the same. This is where we are one. This is our truth. And we give gratitude today for each and every one of us as a part of that one truth that we all are. No separation. And we recognize the whole with love in this moment. No judgment. Everyone is welcome in our hearts in this very moment. All the way to the core of our soul, as the truth of what I am. I am light. I am whole. And I am grateful. Amen. All right. Also, Doreen, it's funny because I've listened to that song, I Am Light, many times. And but hearing that song right after hearing you speak, I noticed there was a quality in the voice that was the same. It was as if you were singing. So that was a lot of fun. I mean, you sing I Am Light to me. Thank you. All right. Because we had Doreen's ordination today, we're going to skip having a reading, and I'm going to go directly into the talk. But I do have some excerpts from a reading that I will be sharing from today as I do the talk. And this is an article that was written by Bentinho Massaro very recently. It's dated September 9th. So he actually wrote this article after our September 3rd interview with him. And the name of the article is Update on My Graduation from Creation, Part 1. So I'll be sharing some brief excerpts from this article. And first I want to tell you a story that some of you may be familiar with and some of you may not. And what I'm about to say is only a partial truth. And the reason I say it's a partial truth is because the first sentence I was going to open with is, I was inspired onto the spiritual path by Peace Pilgrim. And the reason I call that a partial truth is because it's not wholly true. The truth is there were many what I would call false starts to the spiritual path throughout my life. I was inspired over and over again. I would conspire for a time, and then I would leave. Kind of during one of these, been discovered. Say that I was inspired onto the spiritual path by Peace Pilgrim. I really mean is the thought of that eventually caused it to stick, where I came on spiritual path. And for me, there were two primary qualities in Peace Pilgrim inspired to stick. One was that I didn't see her as, but just, I mean, I was really as, and even though I used to think about Buddha, I would have seen him as rather special too. And if I had known about Maharshi, I would have seen him as rather special too. And by special, I mean different from me, right? Like I would, it would be very easy for me to believe that they could achieve something that I couldn't. Right? They're just, you know, they're special. I didn't see Peace Pilgrim as special. I saw Peace Pilgrim as very much like me. And so the way that she inspired me was kind of, if she can do it, so can I. And that's very inspiring, at least it was for me. So that is one of the ways in which Peace Pilgrim inspired me. If she can do it, if she can realize enlightenment, so can I. Another way in which she inspired me, in her book, which Cheryl is reading from now on Wednesdays here in the sanctuary, she tells many, many stories, very simple stories. But it was very clear love, not as an emotion, you know, like I feel the love moment and then maybe another moment I don't. It was like an emotion that came and went. Right now, back again. I knew love as an emotion that comes and goes. she knew love as something that was the only real power in the universe, and it was absolutely constant, and it had authority over all things. That's the way I saw it. And that in order for its authority to be manifest on the planet, we just had to recognize its authority. We had to recognize it for what it was instead of ignoring it. But I didn't quite know what this love was that she knew. I knew that she knew it. I could see it in her stories. But I also knew that I didn't know it. And so another thing that really inspired me about Peace Pilgrim was I wanted to know what she knew. I wanted to discover for myself as a universal fact what she knew for herself as a universal fact. The third thing that inspired me about Peace Pilgrim, it really just started off as a curiosity. Peace Pilgrim said that we are all one. And that was not my experience. I mean, we're not one. You know, it's pretty dang obvious. And in fact, in that song, I Am Light, although she says, I am not, and then she goes on to list all of these things, like I am not the things my family's done, I'm not the thoughts in my mind, I'm not the color of my eyes, I'm not my skin on the outside, you know, goes on and on and on. You know, all of these things I could tell were different between us, and they did separate us, right? I have different experience than you. I have, you know, I have different learned knowledge in my mind than you. I have different opinions than you. I even have different ideas of what's right and what's wrong than you. Physically, I mean, our bodies are clearly separated, right? Your body does not merge with my body. It was just obvious that we're separate, and yet there was something about this woman, Peace Pilgrim, that I naturally trusted. And so when she said that we are all one, instead of saying, oh, that's a bunch of, you know, baloney, a question was born in my mind. And the question was like, how? You know, how can that be true? How can that be true? And I don't know how long I allowed this question to linger in the mind, but I did. And the interesting thing is I allowed the question to linger in the mind without thinking about it, without trying to figure it out. And one day I was walking into my office at work, and actually the parking lot was about, you know, a good half block from the building. So I had a long sidewalk to walk down. So I was walking down this long sidewalk by myself, and all of a sudden I had a vision. This was my first experience of a vision. This vision just took me over. And what I saw was light. Infinite light. And it was obvious that the light was real. The light was that power of love that Peace Pilgrim knew to be a universal fact. It was what some people might call God. But what was also in the vision and was very, very interesting was a portion of this light was kind of covered, kind of blotted out, so that although the light was still there, like blue sky is still behind thunderclouds, right? The light was still there. You couldn't see the light because of the darkness on top of it. And the darkness was made out of was very interesting. It was actually made out of a whole bunch of black polka dots. Only, you know, like if you see a polka dotted dress, there's space between the polka dots, right? Well, in this vision, there was no space between the polka dots. The polka dots overlapped. And so because they overlapped, they created this section where you couldn't see the light. The light did not shine through the dark polka dots. But what was also interesting was a few of the polka dots were beginning to fade. They were going to clear from the dark to clear. They were fading. And wherever the darkness was fading to clear, transparent, the light from behind would start to shine through. So you could see light shining through some of the polka dots. Even though the majority of the polka dots were still quite dark, right? There were some that had this light shining through. And then there were also a few little spaces in that section of darkness that were completely transparent, completely clear. Polka dot had completely faded and nothing but light shined through those little bits of space where a polka dot had been, but now it wasn't. And I remember, like, this had no words to it, and I didn't even have words then to talk about it. I'm going to be using lots of words to talk about it, but then I didn't have any of them. No words, but I understood fully what this vision was communicating to me. And I didn't ever want to forget it, so I remember I ran in my office. I went directly to Paintbrush, which was the only computerized drawing tool I had at the time, and I drew it. I drew this huge light with all of these polka dots on it. I made sure some of the polka dots were fading and the light was coming through, and a few places where there had been polka dots and now there was only light. And I actually made it my background on my computer. So every time I turned on my computer, I saw this image. And I knew what it meant, although I didn't have the words. If you had come and asked me, what is that, I wouldn't have been able to say what I'm about to say now because I didn't have the intellectual language to go with what I understood. But what I understood was each one of those polka dots is one of us, not our true self, but our false self. Each one of those polka dots is made up by all of the concepts that keep us believing that we're separate. So like the concept, you know, I am my race, I am my sex, I am my culture, my political points of view, my religious points of view, you know, all of my ideas about morality, everything I've learned, all of my experience, all of my dreams and desires, all of these mental concepts that make up me different from you and different from every other individual on earth, right? Uniquely me. That was the polka dot. All of my ideas of me was the dark, dark polka dot. And then I also understood that where the polka dots were beginning to fade, that's where people were beginning to awaken. They were being enlightened, right? Because the light is starting to shine through them. And what would happen is as people began to let go of these concepts that define me, as people began to see I am not that, then a part of the conceptual me would begin to disappear. And as part of the conceptual me began to disappear, the light, the infinite light, would shine through. And these people we might perceive as like our spiritual teachers. You know, people that they still have some humanness about them. If you get to know them as a person, you get to know their humanness. They still may even listen to ego to some degree, and you may even see that. But at the same time, enough letting go of a conceptual me has occurred that there's light shining through, and you definitely see the light when it shines through. You see that too. In fact, these people may be a little confusing sometimes because there's both darkness and light present. You know, so you may see light in one moment and darkness in the next because they're fading, right? But you definitely recognize the light when it comes through because it is the light and nothing but the light. And then there were those other spaces where the polka dot had completely faded. You know, there was no more concept of an individual me. Every idea that made up me had been released, let go, seen through, disbelieved. And now there was only the light. And this is what our spiritual masters represent, right? Jesus, Buddha, Ramana, Nisargadatta, etc. And probably, maybe, I don't know this for a fact, what I'm about to say, but as I began to fade myself, as I began to let go of the false concepts that make up the idea of me, Regina, separate from you, and that clarity began to come through me that comes from the light, the clarity began to speak to me at that early point, right? There still seemed to be a me, and there seemed to be a light that was coming through me, and the light would speak to the me, idea of me. And when the light spoke to me, it used the term enlightenment. But it used the term enlightenment in a way that I have since discovered is different than the way that most people use the term enlightenment. Most people use the term enlightenment as if it's something that is done. Like you're not enlightened and then you are enlightened. Kind of like you're not pregnant and then you are pregnant. Or you are pregnant and then you're not because you had the baby. You know, like either or. And the way that the word enlightenment was always used with me, when the light spoke to me, enlightenment was a process. So you could become more and more enlightened. And if you think about it as the polka dots, really what's happening when you're becoming more and more enlightened is the self-concept is being let go more and more, right? As the self-concept fades, there's more clarity, more enlightenment. So you could become more and more enlightenment. Enlightening being enlightened was a gradual process, and it had degrees or grades. So some people could be more enlightened than other people at a particular point in time, right? But when the polka dot completely faded, when it disappeared at the end of the ego, at the end of the self-concept, when there was nothing but light, the way the inner light used that, the term the inner light used for me was the word awakening. At that point, you awakened from the dream of a self-concept, from the dream of a separate me, to the truth realization, I am the light. That was awakening. And I've noticed since then that in non-dualism, they often use awakening as the gradual process, and then enlightenment is the final realization of truth, right? But for me, it was the other way around. And it fit with the polka dot picture, right? I'm becoming more and more enlightened, more and more light shining through me. Less and less self-concept. And then, I'm awake. I am the light. What I want to do now is I'm going to begin reading. I told you I did bring a reading. I'm going to begin reading. I only brought a small section of this very long article that Bentinho wrote. But I want to share with you some of what Bentinho wrote in this article, Update on my Graduation from Creation. After several years of practicing resting as awareness, so notice right off the bat, he's talking about a practice that many of us practice here, the awareness watching awareness meditation, right? After several years, that's interesting too, right? He's not talking about after a couple of times. And that's something that maybe we need to know with patience as we practice ourselves. After several years of practicing resting as awareness and increasing my lucidity and emptiness of self, you hear how he's talking about how he was also allowing his polka dot to fade. He was also letting go of his self-concept of who Bentinho Massaro was. We call this forgiveness if we're using the language of A Course in Miracles, right? We do awareness, watching awareness, and we do forgiveness, right? Practice forgiveness, letting go of the false beliefs. Or, you know, Doreen talked about it as letting go of the obstacles during her little homily. After several years of practicing resting as awareness and increasing my lucidity and my emptiness of self and bias, 5 years ago, I penetrated beyond all that into the absolute, into the light. Like taking, if you think of the light as an ocean, he like dove into the light. I directly realize that the absolute me was beyond all perception, beyond all creation, beyond everything, beyond even consciousness, awareness as we know it to be, infused with experience. So if you imagine yourself for a moment as a fading polka dot, right? But there's still some self-concept there, because that definitely was Bentinho's experience. He was not awake. He had attained some enlightenment, right? And so imagine yourself as a fading polka dot, and for some reason during meditation one day, you know, unconsciously or without your conscious decision, all of a sudden your polka dot temporarily dives deep into that light. And when you dive deep into that light, you no longer can see any of the other polka dots. You can't see what any of the other polka dots are projecting. All you see is the light. Everything else has disappeared. And your only experience now is of the light. And then for some reason, this was a temporary experience, so you kind of pop back up to the surface, and you're back there again as a faded polka dot, surrounded by all of the other polka dots. A few faded, but mostly just dark polka dots, fully believing in their human concept. This is what Bentinho is describing. He had this experience of diving deep into the light where there was nothing else, and then he kind of popped back up to the surface. Right? After several years of practicing resting as awareness and increasing my lucidity and emptiness of self and bias, 5 years ago, I penetrated beyond all that into the absolute. I directly realized that the absolute me was beyond all perception, beyond all creation, beyond everything. Beyond even consciousness, awareness as we know it, infused with experience, right? There is nothing but light. He goes on to write, there is nothing beyond this absolute. It is infinitely absolute. Absolutely infinite. Absolutely one. Remember, my whole vision came when I was contemplating, you know, Peace Pilgrim had said we are one, and I'm like, how could that be? We're one in the light, right? He says it's absolutely one. There's no separation there. There's no self-concept there. There are no people there. There's the light, the truth of what I am, right? It is infinitely absolute, absolutely infinite, absolutely one, indescribable, unimaginable. It is final completion. He continues, this penetrative experience of being beyond all perception, all creation. And then he says in parentheses, and I have had several complete absorptions since then. I think this is what the Hindus call samadhi, right? This penetrative experience of being beyond all perception showed me that there was a realization or disappearance possible way beyond what most of us consider to be enlightenment. Penetrating into the absolute made awakened living seem like nothing at all in comparison. Just more mind, more illusion. This was true liberation beyond all levels and utterly indescribable. So what I hear him saying here, using the image of the polka dot, is that some of these faded polka dots, right? Faded polka dots perceive themselves as enlightened or awake. If we just stick with my language instead of bouncing back and forth, some of these faded polka dots perceive themselves as awake. There are different grades of enlightenment on the way to awakening, right? And what they are really experiencing is that gradual enlightenment process. But that alone is drastic. You know, it's significantly different from the experience of being a solid dark polka dot. So by contrasting solid darkness to some transparency, they perceive themselves as having achieved awakeness. But Bentinho is saying, no, we're wrong. There's something far beyond that. There's something far beyond this enlightened way of seeing the world and thinking in the world and being in the world, which is very enlightened, but it's not awake. In awakeness, there's only the light. There's only the truth. There's only the universal fact of love. There is nothing else, and there's no gradations, right? In fact, he says, again, penetrating into the absolute made, and he calls it awakened living, seem like nothing at all in comparison. So being a fading polka dot and seeing the world through the clarity of a fading polka dot, as different as that is from being a solid polka dot, is nothing compared to the experience of no polka dot at all. Nothing. And in fact, he goes on to say, there are many levels of enlightenment, which, you know, really fits with the polka dot vision, right? There are many levels of enlightenment, or rather, there are many degrees of transparency to the one, while still associated with, he calls it I am, but then he puts in parentheses, while still partaking in the illusion. So while still having, you know, that sense that sense of I am somethingness. There are many levels of enlightenment, or rather there are many degrees of transparency to the one. However, they are all trumped and rendered irrelevant when the absolute is realized. Most levels of awakening, or I would call most levels of enlightenment, his language is going back and forth, most levels of enlightenment simply increase the lucidity of this illusion, but do not actually wake you up to the point where this illusion of perception or experience disappears entirely. You can compare this to your dreams at night. You usually dream unconsciously. Let's say you have one of these usual dreams. You meet a guru in your dreams, and this guru is reminding you of the fact that you are dreaming. You start to ponder this idea in the dream and in your experience. I am dreaming becomes more lucid. You become more awake in the dream. You may even start to intuit that your actual body is laying in its bed in another reality. You may start to imagine and remember what that other reality is like outside of the dream, and you may even become awake and subtle enough to channel that intuitive experience with other dreamers. You see, he's describing a fading polka dot, right? More and more light shining through. But when it comes down to it, your experience is still that you're in or part of the dream to a greater or lesser extent, depending on your level of clarity. Lucid or not, the dream is an illusion. And as long as we are associating ourselves with a portion of the dream, or even the dream as one inseparable whole, we are still, nevertheless, dreaming. And thus, not aware of our true, absolute self. And then, there may be a time in your dream at night when you are totally ready to part from the dream. You did everything you felt you needed or wanted to do. You dropped your attachments to those seeming other selves within the dream. And even are letting go of your attachment to being alive in the dream. You let go completely. Intensely desire or will yourself to wake up, and suddenly the dream disappears completely and you awaken in your bed in your real body reality. What was heretofore your only known reality, from which you could only imagine and speculate what waking reality must be like. What was heretofore your only known reality is suddenly reduced to a vague, intangible memory that seems to lack existence as you wake up into your real self. Dropping into the light of self, but especially and really only upon penetrating into the absolute, is exactly like that waking up from the dream, to where even universal isness, creation's substratum, disappears and is woken up from. The absolute alone remains. And I don't have any more to say about that. I merely wanted to share it. I wanted to bring us back to that clarity, that as we grow more and more and more enlightened, and we shall, as we continue this process of removing the obstacles to love's presence, what's really happening is our polka dot is fading. But as long as any polka dot remains at all, as long as there is any perception at all, we are not yet awake. We are merely becoming more and more enlightened, more and more light shining through. In awakeness, there's only truth. And while you contemplate that, I'm going to play a song called The Voice of Eternity by Jane Winther. And if you choose to, you may take this opportunity to donate to Awakening Together. Barb will share the link.
Thank you.
Would anyone like to share? Again, would anyone like to share based on today's talk? All right, Ruby, the mic is yours.
I had a question. George and I had went to see, what was the name of the movie? Walk With Me. By the monk, I can't pronounce his name.
The Vietnamese monk.
And we had studied him, one of his books. Yes, absolutely. It was a movie last night, and it was Walk With Me, and it was just so beautiful. And I'm recommending everybody take a look at it. My question is, it's a question. The movie was about him, and he had mentioned, hopefully I can say it correctly, that to become, maybe this is not the words, but you can't be awakening. The only way to get awakening is through suffering. It wasn't the only way, but through suffering was the way. And so I can understand that in his path. This is what came up for me, because he was Vietnamese and look at all the suffering they had. So you can't tell people that there's no suffering and they're suffering. So his path, I'm just guessing, forget it, but his path was through suffering, and then you become free or liberated. But my question is, the awakening living, would that eliminate suffering for all? Can you? Yes, that's my question. I'm letting it go. I'm giving over the mic.
All right, I'm probably not going to fully answer your question. It would probably take a much longer discussion. But I will say this. Pretty soon, those of you who are in the Gentle Healing Group are going to come to, in fact, I think tomorrow, you're going to come to the new special theme, What is the World? And that special theme says, when the thought of separation has been changed to one of true forgiveness, will the world be seen in quite another light, and one which leads to truth, where all the world must disappear? So what I am saying in today's talk is that as we, as apparent individuals, become more and more enlightened, or as our polka dot fades, more and more, we are beginning to see the world in quite another light. The Course describes this as the real world, or the happy dream. So we will begin to see things very, very differently. In fact, it will be almost like an awake perception, but the key word there is perception. And again, what the Course says is that this true perception leads to truth, but it is not truth itself. And as Bentinho said, it's awake in the dream, but it's still in the dream. And again, what does the world says? When the thought of separation has been changed to one of true forgiveness, will the world be seen in quite another light, and one which leads to truth? But then it refers to the truth as where all the world must disappear. So my short answer to your question is, when we wake up, there is no world, there is no suffering, there is no perception at all. There is only truth. And the reason I shared this is to just to keep us focused, because there are so many teachings that would say that the various gradations of enlightenment are awakeness. And then, you know, now that I'm awake, I need to, you know, people will talk about I need to become politically involved from my awake state of mind. And I'm not saying that you won't do whatever you do. All I'm saying is we want to keep in mind the difference between gradations of enlightenment that are not yet awakeness and awakeness. And from awakeness, like if you were to ask Nisarg Adada the question that you just asked, he would say, there are no others. There is no world. Right? And this we can only know by finding out for ourselves. So what I would say is just remember my favorite sentence from A Course in Miracles. The miracle worker's only responsibility is to accept the atonement for himself. So, yes, I think it is very true that the outward perception begins to reflect itself differently as more and more people become enlightened. As more and more light shines into the dream takes on a lighter quality. But that is not our focus. Our focus is reawakening to truth, awakening from the dream entirely. And with that said, we've gone a few minutes over. You're welcome, Ruby. So let me play the closing song that I have selected for today, and then I will turn the mic over to Ken and Rebecca, and we can continue this discussion. But the closing song that I have selected is by Stephen Walters, and it is called Always Home.
Coming home, each face reflects.
expecting one to. Each voice needed for the song. Sing along. There's always hope. There's always hope. Every soul on the road is wandering through so many lives and ones. Slowly we begin to see the dance we do in time. In a moment of grace we awaken, find that truth was always known. There's always, there's always hope. There's always hope.
Beautiful. So let the enlightenment continue all the way to awakening. And I am releasing the mic for Ken and Rebecca.